Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Three tournaments of great weather, and then bam, gale-forced wind, torrential sideways rain, old lady weather, really took a hold of the Farmers Insurance Open. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli. And Alex, what a mess they had at Torrey Pines.
You know, I have to be honest with you, Bob. It is my absolute least favorite event of the year. Don't like the golf courses. Don't like the venue. And it's such a hard, hard slog normally with the very, very long, you know, very long golf course and rough everywhere. And then you add in all of that. I would have probably, if they had entry fees, I would have asked for mine back.
You know, the funny thing, fortunately, I went there. We were both recovering from the PGA merchandise show, which we're going to talk about later in the Grill Room. But, you know, the common sight that you see are people parasailing off the cliffs there at Torrey Pines. Well, I was saying to myself, hey, if somebody's dumb enough to launch a parasail here, they liable to end up on the East Coast the way that wind was blowing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's a difficult situation. And, you know, what makes it even more miraculous is how it actually ended up in the end. But just not, you know, if there's a place on the West Coast that is not a golf-friendly, meaning player-friendly venue, I think Torrey Pines is it. You know, a lot of guys don't mind going to Hawaii, clearly, for the 2 weeks. They don't mind playing in the desert for a week. They don't mind going to Phoenix, even though it can be kind of cold and at times, but they don't mind that. And they certainly don't mind going to Pebble. You know what you're getting yourself into, or Riviera. But there's a lot of guys that decided to play the first 2 or 3 weeks and then skipped Farmers and then turned around and went to Phoenix.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later in the Grill Room, Alex. You know, one of the oddball things that happened, our winner, Brant Snedeker, he did so without even hitting a shot on Monday. Play is suspended on Sunday. Snedeker was finished. He had to hang around the whole day to see if he was going to win. I mean, he did shoot an incredible round of 3 under par on Sunday. I think the average score was somewhere around 78 on Sunday under those conditions.
Well, I do know that he he had 2 or 3 shots better than the other one, the next closest player to him. And then those guys that got delayed and had to finish on Monday, that was no bargain either. So it made it a very difficult situation. But look, when Brant Snedeker shot that 69 on a golf course that he clearly loves, that pretty much put everybody on notice that you're going to have to shoot a number before this golf tournament is over, because he's already posted at 6 under, I think he was. And even though guys were 1 or 2 ahead of him, that didn't matter because everybody was going to go in the other direction, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's the second time he's won at Farmers. Got the job done back in 2012. He's off to a good start now. A win at the Sony Open and now the Farmers Insurance Open. And here's what Snedeker had to say about what transpired.
Probably been the most nerve-wracking 24 hours I've had on tour, you know, just because of the lack of control I had over everything that was going to happen today. I mean, I had no idea what to expect. I went from thinking that I had no chance of winning to feeling pretty good about it to thinking that, you know, playoff might be a best-case scenario, and having no control of it probably made me the worst armchair Monday morning quarterback you can imagine. So it was a long night, a long morning. But obviously a lot of good fortune happened today, you know, just because of the way the weather blew in, the way the wind blew, and made those last 5 holes play so tough on those guys. I feel bad for them. They kind of got the raw end of the stick this morning. But just the way the golf goes. And luckily enough, I played good enough yesterday to get the job done. So it's a special feeling, to say the least.
KJ Choi made a pretty good run. I was kind of rooting for him. He's one of the nice guys out there, and he lived in the Houston area for a long time, Alex, and really donated a lot of money to charity, never wanted any publicity about it, but one of the good guys, and he made a pretty good run.
Well, not only did he make a pretty good run, I mean, it was announced, I think, that last week that he's going to be the coach or captain of the Korean golf team going to the Olympics. And the way he's playing, if he continues to play like he did last week, he's not going to only be the coach, he's going to be a player on the team.
That's going to be, and maybe he'll be a playing captain. I've seen that before. Some of the things that happened there at Torrey Pine, trees were down, tents were compromised, including the media tent. Golly, I can't even imagine covering that event. We'd have had no media dining room, Alex. That wouldn't have been a good place for us.
Well, you know, it's the second time I can remember in recent memory where the media tent had been declared unsafe. Actually, three times. One time was, I think you and I were together when we were covering the Senior Open at, what was the name?
Salem,
correct. Right, at Salem. Then one time at Bay Hill where they had no really evacuation plan. And then, obviously, this time here, the one thing I will say, though, is what was odd is for some reason this year they moved the media tent far away from the 18th green, from the putting green, from the north course. It's like it was almost at the 18th tee. So that didn't make it any better either because you weren't even close to a car, your cars, or anything like that. So it was it's not a very good situation. But there you go. It's not on. Not unusual for the media to kind of get pushed down the rungs lately.
But you brought up a fond memory, Alex, that when we were at Salem, I remember being in that real little interview room that they had, and Jack Nicklaus was in there, and then all of a sudden the power went out, it was dark, lightning was starting to come down and actually hit the clubhouse, and I grabbed Jack's hand, and he said, "Who has my hand?" I says, "It's me, Jack." I said, "God will never hit you with lightning," and he got a big chuckle out of that. Hey, we want to give a shout-out to the tournament director, Peter Ripper, the media director, Rick Sloss, and operations team leader, Andy Harmates, for getting things up and running for the media, and he did it while they were safe. That was the main concern. Notables that missed the cut, Alex, Phil Mickelson, defending champ Jason Day. Looks like Jason Day needs a little more time to gear up. He took a lot of time off at the end of last year, and now is just trying to get back into the flow of things.
Well, that's true. And then you add Ricky Fowler into the equation after winning overseas. And, you know, it's not easy flying all over the place and then trying to win golf tournaments. Just ask Jordan Spieth about that. He was talking about that, complaining about that to some extent at Sony, or not Sony, in Singapore, rather. You know, I have to say, Bob, I wasn't there, so it makes it a little more difficult. But I'm not sure that starting on Sunday and putting them through what they put them through on Sunday makes a lot of sense. I don't know what you think.
Well, that's what I want to talk about a little bit. You know, do tour players really play in bad weather longer than they should? Help our listeners out, Alex. You know the behind-the-scenes story. Who actually makes the call to suspend? And when is it bad enough to suspend play?
Well, the easiest thing about suspension of play is if the ball is moving on the greens. The ball is moving down the greens like it did last year at the Open Championship. Then there's no question that they have to stop play because it's inherently unfair. But bad weather in itself is not enough. And, you know, especially when you're getting down to Sunday where you have television and you don't want to go over into Monday if you don't have to. So they try to do whatever they can to finish on Sunday. So a lot of times on Saturday when they know the weather's going to be bad, they start to round earlier. If it's a scenario where they don't go off of both tees in the historically, they will go off both tees and put them in threesomes. Sometimes even, Bob, depending on what the situation is, they may even cut the field even more than they normally did at the cut line after two rounds. So there's a lot of different things that go into this. Television plays a part. Certainly they have a vote in what happens. PGA Tour rules officials play a part. Ultimately, it's supposed to be their call. But I think a lot of times they will talk to TV and see what TV thinks. You know, what happened in this particular case is it ended up finishing on not on network television, which means it didn't finish on CBS. It finished on the Golf Channel, which is something that, you know, if you're CBS, you don't really want. You want to have the finish of that event on your own air, especially when it's the first event of the season for you. So, you know, I think all in all, I would have waited. But by waiting, that means there would have been no live golf on CBS on Sunday, which is not what they're looking for. And, you know, we don't know what Monday would have been like, but clearly Monday was just as difficult as Sunday to some extent. The wind changed completely from one direction to another, which made it even harder. And those guys playing the last five holes coming into the wind. So the golf course wasn't even the same golf course they saw on Sunday on Monday. So there's, you know, you want to inherently try to make it as fair as possible in a major championship. If they start a round and they can't finish that round, and when the end of the day, and there's not been but a few guys that have really actually finished, they just throw the round out. And there's a reason for that, and this is a great example of that.
One other thing our listeners would be interested to know that, you know, that basically the PGA Tour is committed to having 72-hole events, and they will go to Tuesday if need be to try and accomplish that goal. They stay away from that. Obviously, that affects the event that is that week, but they will go to Tuesday.
You know, one other thing, Bob, before we go, you know, Snedeker, as you said, has been playing pretty well, had a good Sony. He's gone from basically 49th in the world to 12th in the world, and we've only been three tournaments in 2016.
Pretty impressive run up that ladder.
By the way, the Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in our military as well as our veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Well, Alex mentioned it just a minute ago. What has Jordan Spieth been up to? We'll find out after a quick break. You're listening to the Grill Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and on the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The 2015 Masters champion, the U.S. Open champion, and the FedEx Cup champion, Jordan Spieth, agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
The Holiday Inn Resort, Waikiki Beachcombers, you know, as the name suggests, it's not only right in the heart of Waikiki, but it's only 300 short steps to the famous Waikiki Beach. Truly a vacation retreat. It reflects the culture of Honolulu and the spirit of Aloha. 496 comfortable guest rooms, complimentary Wi-Fi. The Jimmy Buffett restaurant, which is now a farm-to-table restaurant. And farm-to-table to me is great. I mean, I don't think people understand how great it really is, so the Buffett restaurant is great. Everything about the Beachcombers is great. So I would recommend it highly. Anyone coming to Honolulu, the Holiday Inn Resort, Waikiki Beachcomber, it is great. Feel the spirit of Aloha. 877-577-5756. Go online at the Waikiki Beachcomber Resort.com. I mean, obviously, it's just a lot of fun. And I will tell you right now that next year, exactly where I'm staying again.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
He's Alex, I'm Bob, and you're listening to The Grill Room. By the way, we can be found on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show. Jordan Spieth playing in Singapore. Alex, you referenced it. He's flying a lot of different places. Didn't win over there. And you know, my question to you is, yes, he's chasing the big bucks and the appearance fees and all of that. And I guess he's branding worldwide. I can buy into that. But you know, Alex, the more tournaments you don't play in and ones you don't win, boy, that affects that confidence level. And, you know, we think we're a long way from the first major of the year, but really it's right around the corner.
Well, I mean, that's all true. I think that you're right. Absolutely. He's chasing the appearance fee money. And you can certainly understand that. He's a young guy, so really the travel shouldn't affect him too much, but everybody's different. And I think Jordan has made it pretty clear that the travel is affecting him to some extent. I think this will be probably the last time he goes anywhere significantly outside the United States until probably the Open Championship. But that being said, you know, what you learn when you're the world number one and you go around the world and you start playing in these different events is these guys aren't like stiffs. I mean, they really can play. And Jordan lost, and I think he lost by one to a player in Singapore. And it's like, you know, do you expect him to play better? Well, maybe. But at the same time, you know, these guys can play. And you see that all the time when they come over to the PGA Tour and they show up and they start playing. You're like looking through the media guide like, who's that? You know, you just don't know who they are. So I think that Jordan Spieth is learning lessons throughout his career. This one was obviously a little more difficult with Jay Danzy, his manager, on the bag versus Michael Greller, who was back home, I think, with an ankle sprain, but couldn't go, so he didn't go to Singapore. So Jordan Spieth is learning. He's learning how to win. He's learning how to deal with success. He's learning how to be world number one, and he's learning how to put a schedule together. And I can almost guarantee you that next year, this schedule that he has will not show Hawaii, Abu Dhabi, Singapore.
Well, I'd be betting on that. I don't know about Hawaii now because of the change there. That's a good point. We'll keep an eye on that. Somebody that's not forgetting about winning, though, Alex, Brandon Grace wins at the Commercial Bank Guitar Masters. First player to successfully defend at that Guitar Masters. Brandon Grace is somebody that I think we've both been touting for the last 3 or 4 years, Alex, and he certainly, to me, seems to have the goods that I anticipate a major being up on his resume probably sooner than later.
Well, you know, Bob, if not for, I would have to say, a mistake in this final round at Chambers Bay, he might already have a major to his credit, a U.S. Open win. But that being said, Brandon Grace is playing better and better. I think I saw Ernie Els making some comments about, you know, how proud he is of Brandon and how he's playing. He had Zach on his bag, and Zach, for those that don't know, Zach has been on his bag for most of the last 3 years, and before that used to be on Louis Oosthuizen's bag, and Zach was the man that had a lot to do with Louis Oosthuizen winning the Open Championship at St. Andrews. So, you know, you got a good player and a good caddy, and they're just used to traveling all over the world and playing. And so, you know, for him to go back to Qatar and win is not that big of a stretch. And you're right. The next question is, where does he go from here? And I don't think you could think that there'd be anything but upside for the remainder of 2016 with Brandon Grace.
I've got to back you on that one, Mr. Maselli. The European Tour now moves to the Omega Dubai Desert Classic. Quite a field they have. Rory McIlroy defending, Henrik Stenson playing, Ernie Els, Louis Oosthuizen, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's battling to stay in the top 50 in the world, amongst many others. Good field there for the European Tour. LPGA, well, they opened their season in the Bahamas with the Pure Silk Bahamas LPGA Classic, and now they move to Ocala, Florida, the Coates Golf Championship, presented by R&L Carriers, and look who's in the field there, Lydia Ko. You know, she's going to be a year older. I don't know. I'm on that Lydia Ko bandwagon extremely large. I just think over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, this girl's going to dominate women's golf.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that, Bob. I mean, she won basically everything she wanted to win practically last year, and she's so young, and I think she's only going to get a little stronger physically, but she's going to get so much better mentally, and I think that's really the difference. So where she is starting to learn how to play this game from the highest levels, it's going to be harder and harder for the women that are playing against her to break through, and I think Lydia Ko could have an unbelievable 2016 season, partly because she seems to be the one that is really grasping what's required out on this tour. I mean, NB Park is hurt, so she's going to be out for a while. So it's all about Lydia Ko, at least for the first couple months of the season.
Wow, Stacy Lewis going to be battling her. Stacy coming up second this past week. And boy, what an outstanding young lady she is. Well, it's waste management time in Phoenix, the Phoenix Open, and all about the 16th hole. But another thing takes place the same week. It's the Super Bowl. We got a lot of listeners now, Alex, around the world. Who's going to win, Denver or Carolina?
You know, Bob, it's pretty hard not to pick Carolina, which is why I'm going to pick Denver. I just think that Denver's defense is really good, and I'm still, I mean, I may be one of the few people that aren't, but I'm still not completely sold on Cam Newton. If he has to put it in the air, absolutely has to put it in the air, I don't think that he can get it done as easily or as efficiently as Peyton Manning can, even though Manning is older. Manny just finds a way to win, and I think that's where we are right now, just finding a way to win with a team that probably is the best defense Manny's ever had behind him.
There's a perspective that I could ask 1,000 people about this upcoming Super Bowl and never get one say to me, well, the guy in question is Cam Newton. We don't really know about him. Most 999 other people are going to say, well, we don't know how far Peyton Manning's going to be able to go. Nice job there, Alex. You took a different look at it. I'm going with Carolina to win, even though I would love to see none other than Peyton Manning ride out on a white horse and win his last game. I hope he retires. Winning a Super Bowl and just make the score 27-7 final score. I got somebody very close to me has that in the Super Bowl pool. So 27-7. Keep that number in mind. You know, the Grill Room, we have a new partner, and we're going to hear about that later in the show. You're listening to the Grill Room, powered by GolfWeek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and on the Armed Forces Radio Network. You know, you can follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Ricky Fowler agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere. Alex, right now I'd like to mention the Kapalua Villas Maui, the ultimate hideaway where privacy is as much a part of the experience as the world-class facilities. 3 beaches, 11 restaurants, a great spa, championship golf, and world-class tennis. If a trip to Maui is in your plans, visit KapaluaVillasMaui.com or call them at 800-545-0018 to make your reservation today. Kapalua Villas Maui, the complete Hawaii experience.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Once again, welcome back to The Grill Room. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli, and we'll go to some interesting developments in the world of golf. The RNA just announced the 2018 Senior Championship will be played at St. Andrews. Big perk for the seniors to play at St. Andrews, probably Alex Maselli's favorite place on this planet.
Well, yep, it is that. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys probably never thought they'd be able to play at the old course in an event again. And I think the best part about it is I think the old course sets up perfectly for the seniors. I think it'll be a really compelling event. It's always great to be back at St. Andrews in the Old Course, but I just think it's a good venue for them, just like it is for the ladies. I think the ladies really enjoy playing at the Old Course, and I'm looking forward to seeing the seniors and see what they can do on it.
How about those two events back to back? The United States Open at Shinnecock in 2018. The Senior Open is going to be at St. Andrews in 2018. Wow. I hope I'm around to cover both of those. Speaking of schedules, how do you think, Alex? The PGA Championship now going to be just 2 weeks after the Open Championship due to the Olympics. Your thought on that?
Well, I mean, you only have so many weeks in the summer, and you don't have much of a choice. The thing that was kind of mind-boggling to me about that is the fact that the PGA Tour is going to have an opposite field event against the Olympics, because, again, they're running out of dates as well. I'm not sure the Olympics. I'm really wondering if the Olympics are worth it to professional golf. I mean, I want to see golf in the Olympics. There's no doubt about that. But professional golf is so clogged up with events, especially at that time of year. It's just, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to be doing what we're doing. We're basically changing everything we do in golf for this 1 year, and it's not going to change. And two more or four more years, we're going to have to do it all over again. So I liked the way we were doing things. I liked who we were. I thought we had a definite identity. Now it seems like we're doing everything possible to make sure that it works out for the Olympics. And let's be honest, a lot of players have already voiced their opinion that their interest level is lukewarm in regard to the Olympics.
It's a big question mark. There's no doubt about it. I mean, so much hype when they announce the Olympics. Golf is coming back to the Olympics after being away for 100 years. But now as it gets closer, and it's certainly very much on the radar screen, there's some, trepidation, I guess, not only the players, the organizers, and I had an opportunity down in Florida. We're going to talk about the PGA merchandise show. A gentleman that was from Rio, and I asked him, had he gotten any reaction down there? And they're nervous because they want it to be a complete success, but there are certain aspects that they're worried about, and we'll just have to wait and see. I think you put it very well. We'll have to wait and see and evaluate the Olympics once they're finished. Speaking of finished, PGA show finished, and I want to get your impression, Alex. I mean, we were so busy. I mean, there's 13 miles of boost that you can go to see, and I'd be going in one direction. I'd see you racing off in another direction. You have a meeting after meeting after meeting. But what did you think? I felt the buzz. Did you feel it?
Yeah, I think, Bob, you're right. I think that there were more attendees than I think they had planned on. I think there were a lot of people that felt like they got their money's worth being there as an exhibitor. But that being said, you still had the undercurrent that's out there of the fact that golf is struggling financially. The companies, the publications, the media that covers it. I mean, everything is kind of up in the air. There's not much advertising going on. There weren't, I mean, for the first time in a long time, there really weren't many new products. There wasn't a lot of things being touted as new. So I just think it's a byproduct of what a society is today, where we're just not, we are kicking tires, we're looking a lot more, but we're buying a lot less.
Well, one exciting aspect that I came away with, and we're proud to make this news available to our listeners, and you know better than anybody, Alex, in order to grow the game, it has to start with kids and junior golf. And in order for kids to learn the game and have fun doing it and be successful, they have to have the right equipment. Yes, even the little ones. And now there's no reason for any child to play with cut-down clubs ever again. The Grill Room's new partner, Golphin, that is Golphin, has the answer. Callum McPherson's passion is kids golf and how to grow the game from the bottom up. So he founded a kids golf club company. Clubs growing kids can use, not toys, but the latest, most innovative technology for junior golfers. Irons, drivers, putters, built just for the younger legsters. The right weight, right length, and amazingly enough, the right shafts. to ensure that they can get the ball in the air and have fun as they get to know the sport with real clubs and look cool doing it. To find out more, just visit golfin.com. That is golphin.com.
Well, you know, Bobby, I know when you were at the PGA Merchandise Show, you had a chance to actually catch up with the founder of Golfin, Callum McPherson. Let's kind of listen in on that interview.
I'm fortunate enough to be talking to Callum McPherson, founder and managing director with Golfin, the latest, greatest in technology for junior golfers. Callum, I'm seeing new clubs. I'm seeing new excitement. Tell me how the story has changed just since a year ago.
Absolutely, Bob. Good, great to see you again. Fantastic. The story's been changing and evolving, Bob, back home. We're really having a significant impact in getting young kids into golf back in Scotland and the UK. We've upgraded the product specification, so the product's got more bounce, it's got a little bit more weight behind it. So we've learned through our process over the past 18 months on how to optimise the product for kids. So we're getting more and more kids into golf. We're now coming over to the US and we're launching here this week at the PGA Show. And it's just fantastic. We're just doing our best to help grow the game.
You know, Callum, when I look at the clubs that you're making available now for juniors, to me, they're the same quality as you know, the best clubs in the world. It's no more an imitation club. It's no more a toy club. It's something young people can really be proud of to be playing with.
Absolutely. The kids want to play with clubs like Rory or Tiger or Jordan Spieth. They don't want toys, Bob. They want to play with real golf clubs. So our product is a stepping stone product between like plastic clubs and, if you like, traditional junior clubs. Traditional junior clubs are, frankly speaking, too difficult to use for most kids. So we've developed a product that helps kids enjoy the game, have fun, learn a proper swing from the very beginning and get inspired to come and play more golf.
I only wish people could see the smile on his face. Callum McPherson, we're here with Golfin, the latest, greatest in technology for junior golfers. And the goal is to get young people to have golf part of their life at a very early age. Am I right?
Absolutely. Get them in as young as possible, Bob. So when kids get to 7/8 years old, they've already made their mind up really what they like to do. So our goal is to get them in when they're 3, 4, or 5, or at the latest 6 years old, enjoying the game, having fun. If we bring them into the sport and they don't enjoy it and have fun, they leave the sport. Retention levels is all about the sustainability model of golf, and our products are helping retain kids in the sport, get them excited, enjoying playing golf. And when they're having fun, they learn a lot easier, Bob. As we know, when we as human beings are having fun, we learn and we want to do it more often. And that's what golfing is all about.
And golf's a game of a lifetime. Callum McPherson, you're helping youngsters get involved at an early age so that they'll have something that they'll enjoy the rest of their lives. Thank you, Callum, and continued success.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Again, we'd like to welcome Golfin to our Grill Room family. You'll be hearing more about their success each week, and you can follow them on Twitter at golphin4kids. Remember, it's golphin4kids.
And our thanks also to the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, whose members keep our courses in great shape, playable, and enjoyable, all while protecting the environment and our most valuable asset, our water sources.
You've been listening to The Grow Room, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfWeek.com. By the way, The Grow Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and of course on our website, thegrillroom.com. If you have a minute, please let us know how you like our new 2016 revamped show format. We'd love to hear of your feedback. You can send us an email at menu, that is M-E-N-U, at thegrillroom.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to Golfin, innovative clubs for kids, and thegolfweek.com. So for Janice Self, Alex, Bo Tomaselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and like us on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.